Okay, so the last sugya that we wanted to do in this perek is this issue of Adam Chashuv. So if you remember, in the Mishnah, the last Mishnah had said, Merchatz shuhuska bateven, I'm here on the Mishnah, Samachet Aleph, Merchatz shuhuska bateven, ubekash shel shvi'it, mutar lirchotz ba. Actually, there was one point. Before I do that, I wanted to make one point from yesterday, and then I'll go to this. I wanted to make one more point on the anointing sugya. Remember the anointing sugya? Yeah. So just, I went more carefully through the piece in Ruchem Kanievsky. He has three possibilities for the difference between Truma and Shvi'it, right? One is, like we said yesterday, the possibility there's a difference of a pasuk, that by Truma we say v'chiluluhu, and maybe by Shvi'it we don't, and therefore by Truma, once you've used the oil, it loses its kedusha, by Shvi'it maybe not. A second possibility is, no, this isn't a Truma versus Shvi'it issue. He says another possibility is the following. When the Kohen, so in this case Shlomo, puts oil on his hands as moisturizer, and then shakes Mordechai's hand, that is the normal use. And that's why it is mutter, because once you've done the normal use, so then you can have derivative benefit. And it's for that reason that both by Truma and by Shvi'it, you could put it on your feet and then put on your shoes, because that's normal, right? And necessary. The reason that sticking oil in your shoes when your feet are in them is not okay is because it's not normal or necessary, right? Meaning, when I put moisturizer on my foot, right, it's hard to get it all to fully absorb. So therefore, it's normal and basically necessary for it to absorb a little bit into my shoes.
But dumping it in your shoe.
Right, but dumping it in my shoe, that's more oil than it was normal or necessary to put in that way, and that's why it's problematic. That's his second possibility. And then he notes that if you take this possibility, then fundamentally he's equating Truma and Shvi'it, right, that both Truma and Shvi'it, the rule is, once you've used it normally and in a way that the ancillary use was basically justified, that's fine. So why is it that on Shabbat it's not? Right? On Shabbat, to put oil on your foot and then to put on a leather shoe that's going to work the leather a little bit is usur. So he says, well, there's a difference. Because by Shabbat, the question is, did I violate malacha? And if something is inevitable from my action, we call that a pesach reisha. It's a violation of lachet machshavet. It's within my broader rubric of kavana, and that's problematic. By shvi'it and by truma, the issue isn't, did I do the action? The issue is the action that I did defined as destructive? Exactly. It's not, did I do it? It's, did I do it in a way that's destructive? The parameters of, did I do it? Right? Because if the question is, did I now put oil into the leather? The answer is,
Yes.
Did I destroy Truma oil when the reason it's there is because fundamentally I was doing a constructive act? The answer is no. All right, and therefore he says the standards are different. It was a very nice piece from Kanevsky. Okay, back to this. So the Mishnah says, Merchatz shuhuska b'teven uvekash shel shvi'it mutar lirchotz ba. If you have a bathhouse that was burned, the water was warmed up with straw of shmir. Kashel shvi'it mutar lechotz, but you're allowed to bathe in it. Im mitchashevu harezo lo yurchatz. But if mitchashev, what is mitchashev? That's what we have to figure out. Then you can't. So there are many, many, many interpretations of this line, and unfortunately, we will have to go through it quickly. Okay, so. Possibility one, which is the Rosh Mishans, based on Mara Fulda, is that the problem is like this. Fundamentally, for you to benefit from the bath after it's been warmed up, even problematically, with Shemitah straw, since we halachically determine that at this point it's not considered hana'a, improper hana'a from the Shemitah. Why not? Presumably, it seems to be according to this group of Mepharshim, because it's so many stages removed from the actual Shemitah and its problematic use, you are allowed to use it. Okay? Why is it that a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to? Because a Talmud Chacham, people look at a Talmud Chacham and they're medayek and everything he does, right? And they might learn the wrong lesson, right? So, for example, not that I'm a Talmud Chacham, but, you know, my friends sometimes assume that I had something, a halachic reason for everything that I did. So when Ora and I were engaged, I remember we were at, like, an engagement party, right? Now, I'm going to make the scene soon. Yeah. So we stood on, Ora and I were, like, let's say we were at an engagement party and we were about a few feet away and there was food in the middle and I wanted it. So I asked a friend of ours who was in the middle, right, to pass it just because, you know, easier. Now, one of the things you have to know is that one of the harchakot nida, right, the harchakot, right, one of the things we do during nida is distance, is that you don't pass things miyad liyad, right? And instead of drawing the normal conclusion was that it was easier for the person in the middle to pass the object on the table, she's like, wait, are you machmir during engagement to on the harchakot nida? It's like, no! It's like, what are you reading into everything I do? Right? Schechter said that he has this problem with his kids, that one of his kids, he said, his minag in his house, it's not a minag. What happens? He has guests all the time, his students, and they bring wine. Okay? So, Roshechter has this thing. The Rambam has a chumrah that at Friday night you should use red wine, preferably non-mavushar. Right? So in Kvar, he has a lot of bottles of wine. He uses the red at night. Now, what does that mean? If you use the red at night, he has leftover white. So when does he use the white? During the day. Is there any halachic reason to use white during the day?
No.
It's that he wants to use the red at night to be machmir like the Rambam. When one of his kids got married, he said, Abba, Tati, I don't know what he calls him, right? Don't worry, I kept your minhag and I only use red at night and white during the day. And he's like, that's not a thing. I didn't do that. I mean, I did it, but there's no halachic position there, right? So the problem is talmidei chachamim, or people that people look to for halachic guidance, sometimes people are medayik and they assume that every single thing you do has like a deep halachic reason behind it. So maybe you have to be more worried, okay? So that's how the Rash, the Mara Fulda, understand this issue. Okay? The Rambam, both in the Perush and Mishnayot, and the Yad, understands it differently. And the Rambam says, Merchad shuska b'teven v'kashel shvi'i, mutar l'chotz b'bischar, v'im adam chashuv hu asr l'chotz b'shem ha'yesiku b'dvar ma'achirim, k'dei liot reicha nodeif. The Rambam has an interesting position. He says, listen, what's the problem? The problem is that when a very chashuv person comes in to this bathhouse, so right now, what are they doing? They're burning straw. But what might happen? If they see the rav coming in, the mayor coming in, they might say, you know what, it smells really bad. In this, right? In addition to this, let's burn some incense. What do we have around? Oh, we have... Ah, let's make it smell citrus. Let's burn some oranges. Right? Now, can you do that?
No.
Absolutely not. That's Michael Adam. That's a very, very, very bad. Right? So the Rambam says the problem is it's not about, per se, about them burning the straw as much as we're worried that what's going to happen. As soon as the chashuv person walks in, they are going to start burning other things for good smell. Now, there's a few points you have to make in the Rambam. First of all, according to the Rambam, it's not about being a Talmud Chacham. It's about being an Adam Chashuv of any sort. Right? It's about being the rabbi, the Rosh Hashiva, or the mayor. Right? Anybody that they might do this for is Usher. Now, there is a fundamental problem, however, with the Rambam that all of Mefarshim know, and that is, wait a second. So what is... According to that, this has nothing to do with the fact that they're currently burning straw that's made of Shemitah. Right? I mean, they could be burning the water. They could be burning the water from non-Shemitah wood, and you'd have the exact same concern.
So the fact that,
right?
The So to the Ramban, the fact that there that you're not allowed to burn the straw might be the same reason why you wouldn't let.
So according to this, you shouldn't be allowed to go to any bathhouse under any circumstance during Shemitah, at least where they know you. Right? Which is in fact what Yerushalmi says. Right? So why would it be limited to a case where you're burning straw of Shemitah? Right? So this is what the Mefarshim, this is what all the Mefarshim ask within the Rambam. So I will just read you one second.
Maybe that's because you don't.
So the Mari Kurkis is a very technical answer, which is the following. If you go to a Stam bathhouse, you assume that the person knows halacha. Why not? There's no reason to assume that, right? And therefore, there's no reason to assume he's going to burn Shemitah produce. When do you get concerned? If he's currently violating Shemitah. So then you say, okay, this guy is about to make it worse. Because once you see the person, again, not necessarily because he's evil, but if he doesn't know the halacha, and you see that based on the way he's running the bathhouse, then you have to be worried that your presence will lead to more violation. And therefore, if you see him violating an issur, even a minor, relatively minor one, then you can't go. That's how the Mari Korkas understands the Rambam. Okay.
The
Kesef Mishnah.
So the burning of the straw is according to the Rambam, it has.
Wait, now the say it again.
The straw has.
Hold that thought for a second. Right. All of this is assuming that the straw is kedushat shviyat. The Kesef Mishnah just bites the bullet and he says, you're right, according to the Rambam, a chashuv person cannot bathe in any bathhouse during Shemitah where they know that he is an Adam chashuv. Yep, you're right. You're right. Why does it say straw of Shemitah? Because that's what we're talking about. But don't get too worked up about it. Okay? Second possibility is no. What he's saying is that even if I know that he's burning straw, and I have no reason to believe that he's also going to burn an orange to give it a citrus smell, even then we're concerned. Okay, not great. But that's the Rambam. Okay? The Raavad has yet another totally different shot in this. And the Raavad says, V'nirali muter l'chos tiktani b'resha b'chinam kamar, aval b'schar lo hevi dischora. So the Raavad says something wild. He says, here's what the halacha is. You are allowed to bathe. You're allowed to bathe, right? Going back to Mordechai's thing. Everyone we've seen so far assumes that you're not allowed to burn straw of Shemitah, right? But why would you say that? The Raavad seems to say that's fine. Why would it be fine?
It's not.
Because you're getting hana. You're allowed to do that. Ritana's Adam. He says, what are you not allowed to do?
Burn it and then not.
And get, no. So he says, you're not allowed to burn it and pay for it. Why not? Schora.
Right.
So he says, your average person is allowed to bathe using water that was heated up by wood and kash and tevin of Shemitah, but what are they not allowed to do?
Pay for it.
And Adam Chashuv isn't allowed to bathe at all. Why? Because we have this weird category in halacha called Adam Chashuv, by Kiddushin. No.
Oh.
There's a category. Very good. It's like in Kiddushin where a woman comes to a man and says, Kobe, you are such a Talmud Chacham. Let's come up with an imaginary woman for Kobe here. What?
Doesn't sound right,
no. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Fine. Doesn't matter. A woman comes over to Kobe and says, Kobe, you are so chashuv that if you agree to marry me, I will feel as if you've given me the greatest gift in the world. So you don't have to give me money. I value your agreement to marry me at $1 million. Amazingly, the Gemara says, it actually works. It actually works.
So according to the Raavad, his presence in the
That's correct. So according to the Raavad, the reason that an Adam Chashuv is not allowed to bathe.
Maybe they'll see, this guy is like,
no, exactly. It's
what's it called? What's the three different methods?
No, it's exactly. This is like those people who have like well-followed Instagram accounts, and it's like, look, I was out this such and such bathhouse. Give it to me for free. Right? The people who are like, give me a free trip to whatever, because it will get you more business. Yes, they're.
And then they get it.
Yes, He's an influencer. Exactly. He is a social influencer. Give me a free ride. Exactly. That's exactly how the Rivet understands. Amazingly, that is how the Rivet understands the sugya. So, okay. So good. So far, what we've seen is the Rosh and the Marafolda who say, yeah, basically. Welcome. Yes. Yes. So, I don't know what to tell you. Now, again, so as we've seen, until the Rivet, everyone assumed that fundamentally using straw is usur, right, to heat up the bath. Now, why is that? So the majority of you seems to be because there's a time delay, and therefore it's not hanato viro shaveh. Right, there's a time delay between the burning and the heating up the water and taking the bath, and therefore it is a problem.
Also, could you say it's like grandma when you're not really getting the hana from the fire, you're getting it from the warm water?
Right, meaning it's and that's why the poskim lamaskana say it's mutter for the average person, is because even if it was heated up isur, it's several steps removed, and therefore it is mutter. Now, there are, therefore, based on what I just said, those who suggest, the Grosh suggests this, that you can take a bath, but you can't go to like a steam bath. Because a steam bath, you are immediately getting hana improperly from the Shemitah. It's more immediate. I mean, if you think the only reason it's mutter post facto is because it's several steps removed, so it's it's not. Yeah, something like that.
No, actually, what if you heat up coals and then you put the coals in the sauna?
So that would probably be the same thing in winter. Now the Mishnah Rishona, one second. Did I not bring it today? Oh, I did. Right now, the Mishnah Rishona is the one who really challenges this whole thing, and he thinks that, look, wait a second, why are you assuming that straw is always usser? Right? Why are you assuming that straw is always usser? We've seen different reasons to say straw should not be usser. One might be the question of eitzim in general.
Also, it might really be.
And the second point is, he said, as we've seen, straw might mean baichel behema. And remember, we saw all the way at the beginning of the parak to tie it together. What's the halacha of baichel behema? You have to use it for hana'a, but the standards of what counts as mutter hana'a are lower. So, for example, we saw the Gemara said that baichel behema you can use for melugma, for medicine. So maybe you should be able to use straw to heat up a bath, even if you can't use, you know, oranges to heat up a bath. So, right, so why do you assume that it is usur? So in fact, the Mishnah Rishona does not assume that it's usur. I mean, he says it's as follows. He says, listen, if there isn't wood around and everyone uses straw, right, then in fact it is mutter, because that's the normal way to use it, right? That's the normal way to use it. And you're allowed to. It's like melugma, it's maichel behema, being used for its normal purpose of medicine or whatever, meaning secondary hana of an adam, and in fact permitted. The only time he thinks that it's usur is where there's a lot of wood, and therefore this is a misuse, because most people use wood, right? And when most people use wood and not straw, then as we know, it is a misuse, right? And misuse is the biggest problem that you can have by Shemitah. And therefore he thinks it might even be usur b'di'avad. So in fact, right, not everyone agrees to this whole analysis. Correct. Again, the majority of you seems to be that that's not what's going on here. yeah. So why would you not agree with this? Why would you not agree with his analysis, which is Tevin is Michael Behema, and therefore you should be allowed to use it, just like you can from Malukmas or Chaim Kanievsky says, why does everyone else agree? Because if there's a hierarchy, burning something is still lower on the hierarchy than medicine. I have no idea. I don't know. So again, if you don't want to agree with it, it seems like the reason would be because you think burning is...
Not necessarily, because burning can be beneficial for everybody in terms of
you know, Hanami, but again, the fact... Again, this is the machlokas. His point is that it seems to be that the people who disagree, that's the direction that they're going to go in. There are yet other interpretations of this, but let's... That's a few, so let's leave that there so we can finish the perek. With that, let's finish the perek. Okay. Again, I'm putting out there are other interpretations, but we've just done like five. So, okay, there is a bit of a discussion to see for here, which is interesting, but let's leave it. So then the Gemara ends. Merchad shehuska hada detemar beilan dumusaya biram beilan pirivata asur. So the merchatzaot that are for normal people, I'm reading one perush here, are mutter, but these pirivatas, these special ones, are in fact usher. Now, what is that talking about? So Marafulda says it's very simple. The bathhouses where only chashuv people go, no one can use, for the same reason that an adam chashuv has to be careful, which is people might learn from him. The bathhouses that that chashuv people normally go to, if anyone uses them in an improper way, it sets the tone, right? So, you know, if Rav Asher Weiss goes and does something, someone might look and say, oh, that's obviously right, right? But if there's a restaurant that it's known that all the gedolim eat there, even when he's not there, people might learn from it. Right, so that's how Marafulda understands a pirivata, which is a little bit weird. Right, now there's a very basic problem here, is if you talk about a Talmud Chacham, so how could it be that the restaurant frequented by the Talmidei Chachamim is violating Shemitah? Right, so that's why the Marafolda says, no, it doesn't mean Talmidei Chachamim here. In the Gemara, it doesn't mean, even if the Mishnah meant it, the Gemara doesn't, it just means the bathhouse used by chashuv people in general, right, in general. The Gra, as I mentioned before, says, no, a pirivata isn't a different type of bathhouse, it's a steam bath. And it's a difference between different kinds of Hana, because there, remember, again, we said, according to the Gra, the way you understand the sugya is it was wrong to burn the straw, but the straw into the water, into the bath, is several steps removed, so even if it was heated be'isser, post facto, you're allowed to benefit. But if it's a steam bath, it's more direct, and therefore the Gra says that's what this is. A parivata is a steam bath, and that's why it is a sir.
Is a steam bath like
a schwitz. Schwitz, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. It's a schwitz. The Rosh Cirilio has yet a different shot here. Merchatzot d'alma shem chamen al yidei adam umishom hacham ki sharin al merchatzuska b'teven b'shvir ha'inuk shemayim shalach chamen me'atzman. So I already mentioned this in the Rosh Cirilio. The Rosh Cirilio says it's very simple. If water is heated up entirely from perek shviit, then it's usher. Not only usher to do, but usher to benefit. If you take water that's already warm, like from chamei tveria, and you heat it up more, then you shouldn't have done it, but post facto you're allowed to benefit. So according to him, therefore, what is the perivata? It's the case where the water was completely cold before, and therefore even b'dieved, you're not allowed to benefit from it if it was illicitly Correct. Right? Meaning the whole thing is where it's Rosh the Mefarshim, assuming this is B'dieved. You're not allowed to do this. It wasn't allowed to be done. The question is, are you allowed to benefit from it? Exactly. Shehuska, it happened. Now, again, as I mentioned, the big problem here is that why is it B'dieved? Right? Again, most Mefarshim assume it's B'dieved. We saw that the Mishnah Rishona says maybe there are cases where it's not B'dieved. The Sefer Nir is the one who really gets into this whole question, which is, I don't understand what you're talking about. Isn't this the machloket in the sugya about Eitzim? But he says, after going through a little viyun, he says, "V'fichach nira ikur da'asher lahazik b'tevin v'kashal shviyit u'b'diavad mutar yesh lomar da'hadein isher mefurish b'kra nenem b'er shviyit shelo k'mitzvato el isher mishum shemashchit b'er shviyit v'kevin shu'asa zerak acher ein alav isher hana." Right? He said, okay, the maskana of our sugya clearly is that Eitzim cannot be burnt for whatever reason. And that's why the only question is post facto. So then he says, so why aren't you Ochel Kenegdan? So this happens to be a machloket. He assumes you're not Ochel Kenegdan, though some of the Mefarshim actually assume you are Ochel Kenegdan here as well. So he says, maybe this is just different. It wasn't done for you. And he says, if the heter is, the reason you don't have to be Ochel Kenegdan is because we assume they didn't heat the bathhouse for you. Maybe that's why Adam Chashuv is worse, because we assume they are doing it for you. Fine. Okay. I'll skip the rest of his analysis here. Let's read the last line. Reb Shimon ben Lakish have a bivotra. He was in the city of Vatra. Chamtun bezalfen lahavre Aphroditi. He saw they were pouring wine to Aphrodite. Amr alone, so he said, lit usser, isn't it usser? So in light of the Bavli, many of the Mefarshim understand this, what the Bavli is that he was at a bathhouse that had a statue of Aphrodite there, and they asked him, how are you allowed to be in this bathhouse?
Not that he was...
So Atta v'shalar b'yochanan, Amr alay b'yochanan, Shem Roshim v'zalak, ein davar shal rabim usser. That which belongs to the community can never become usser. So what does that mean? I'm just going to read you two... to Pshatim, right? So the Marafulda understand this in light of the Bavli, which is Shuv, right? He went to this bathhouse named for Aphrodite. And they asked him, why is it Usher? So look at Marafulda. He says, Shuv lochotzbash and Esar Merchatol Vazilov Vazar Vanasa Yain Nesach. This is Yain Nesach, and therefore Vanessar Gamkan Amerchat Shuv lochotzbo. And now this whole place is Usher. And he said to him, no, an individual is not allowed to forbid that which belongs to the community, right? Meaning, no one has the right to take something that belongs to the community and transform it into a place of avodah zarah. And therefore, yes, the person pouring out wine to Aphrodite thought they were making this a base of avodah zarah, but that's not in their rights. It's not theirs. That's he's understanding based on the Bible.
That if there's a place where...
I'm sorry, that's how he understands it, not in light of the Bavli. Sorry, that's how he understands this. The Bavli is a little bit different. The Bavli has the following girsa, the Reb Shimon, and the Gra changes the girsa of ours in light in the Bavli. The Reb Shimon Lakish have a bibotzer chamtun mezalfen lad Aphrodite. So he saw idolaters pouring wine to this idol of Aphrodite. Amarlon lit usur. This was by a river. Isn't it usur now to benefit from this river? Ata shalar biyochan amarle biyochan mashim rishim yitzag ve'ein davar shel rabim. That which belongs to the rabim just can't become usur. Now, what does this have to do with Shemitah? Why is this even here? So it could be that it's not, that we're just already talking about bathhouses, right? But the Gra says, no, this is the same halacha. This is the explanation that we've been looking for, which is why is post facto the bathhouse doesn't become usher. Which is, yes, he shouldn't have done it. But the reason we don't forbid everyone to go to the bathhouse is because we see that even by avodah zarah, no individual has the right to take a public commodity, right, and make it usher for everybody. Yes, and in that case, privata might just mean a private bathhouse would be us, or a public one would not be. So that might be another way of understanding this issue.
If you are benefiting, let's say you're another person, you're benefiting the guy by going to one, then you're paying him to be mounted.
Right. And that's the way that... Okay, so that's how the Sefer Nir understands it. Very good. Right? And the Sefer Nir understands exactly the way you just did. So just to... because you said it, I'll just say this. Yes, the Sefer Nir says it's like this. The normal rule on Shabbat is that you're not allowed to benefit from Isser that was done for you. Normally, we assume that if someone does something for the community, it's not for you. But if you're someone so special that they would have, you know, warmed up the bathhouse just for you, then even though they did it for the community, it's considered for you, and therefore it's Aser. And that's how the Sefer Nir understands this issue, right? That's exactly how the Sefer Nir says. He says, "Listen, the reason it's Aser in this case is for that reason."
Is it
Aser for you. Right, unless it's the privata, which is what some people say. Right, that might be different. So fine, Hadron alone. Very good.